Today, I'm sitting down with Raphael Johnson of Roto World to go through his team from the auction mock draft we did on the weekend with our Discord community. And look, let's be honest, we're going to talk about the Knicks a little bit and the Karl Anthony Towns trade. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. Find me, Adam King, on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find us on Twitter at FBI Basketball, or go to the website FBIBasketball.com. We are on YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts or watch podcasts, of course. Like, rate, subscribe. We are also now part of the Old Man Squad. Go and follow Old Man Squad on YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok, apparently. I know perhaps less about TikTok than Dan Bespris does, if that's possible. And at Old Man Squad Fantasy on Instagram as well. I think he has about 25 hosts, 27, something like that. I don't know. It's growing. So go and follow Dan. Go and follow Old Man Squad. Excited to be working with Dan a little bit more this season. Raphael Johnson, thank you for jumping on. The soccer is done. We're good to go.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's always fun to come on the show. So,
We did an auction draft, which we're going to talk about your team. And I mean, I've been asked since then. I've actually had a few people reach out to me and say, "Have you got any ADP stuff for auction drafts, like average prices, that sort of thing?" It's pretty hard to come up with auction draft data because there just aren't many auction drafts. Mock drafts that are done because they take 2.5 hours. There's not a lot to talk about in terms of ADP, but we'll talk about your team. We'll talk about the draft. But I quickly want to touch on the Knicks and Minnesota trade that went down on the, 3 days ago, I want to say something like that, which was pretty out of the blue. I mean, did you have any inkling as a Knicks fan that they were looking to trade Randall?
You kind of had an inkling just because he was the one guy whose contract wasn't extended during the summer. You know, Brunson, obviously, much was made about the amount of money that he left on the table, so to speak. He got his deal. So the question was, what's going to happen with Randall? You got a lot of other guys who are either taken care of or they seem to be set to where they will be in a position to be taken care of. Randall's the one guy in that roster who could potentially ask like a max contract or somewhere near that. And when it didn't happen, plus the rumblings for many months about a potential connection with Karl Anthony Towns, just because he used to have the agency that Leon Rose used to work for, CAA. You know, it was a bit surprising in terms of when it happened. But I don't think the fact that it did happen was much of a surprise now that I think about it.
And do you think, I mean, it's probably unlikely because things like this are obviously in the pipeline for a while. They don't just sort of pop up and then they're traded within 24 hours. But do you think the Mitchell Robinson injury had anything to do with it? Like, is this sort of an indication that perhaps they're not confident that he's, well, maybe ever going to be healthy, but going to be healthy enough to be a starting center in the NBA?
Yeah. You can definitely argue that just because he's had one season where he's played over 70 games in his career. So the availability is a serious concern. And also, he's not the most dynamic in center. Obviously, he's going to give you great rebounding numbers, field goal percentage. But overall, offensively, he's not a player that you can throw the ball and tell to go get you a bucket. Karl Anthony Towns is that type of offensive force. Now, and he can also play the four next to another big, as we saw in Minnesota. How much they do that, I don't know, but Mitchell's not going to be ready until December at the earliest, maybe even January. So it was quite clear with an improved Eastern Conference at the top, the Knicks had to make a move at the center position because Jericho Sims wasn't going to get it done. if he's your opening night starter. So, you know, I think the hangup was the Dante DiVincenzo part of the trade, where the Knicks really didn't want to give him up until they realized that in order to get something done, you're going to have to part ways with him. But yeah, they desperately needed to improve the center position. I don't know what this says about Mitchell Robinson long term in terms of how much he can help them, but as I said, the availability just hasn't been there for most of his career to begin with.
And so I guess just from a, well, from a talent standpoint, I feel like if we're just looking at Randall and Kat, those two, and not worrying about DiVincenzo, for me, it's an upgrade, definitely, going from Randall to Kat. What do, I mean, do you think, is this a good move for the Knicks? There have been some people that sort of, I think, either side of the fence. I'm of the opinion that it is a good move, but it does impact their depth a little bit, because Josh Hart is probably now going to start, which he was sort of their sixth man. So I do think it helps them. I think something that hasn't been talked about, and I'm surprised people haven't talked about it, is the Tibbs-Cat relationship, because they obviously were together in Minnesota, and there were some issues with that. Was when Jimmy Butler was there, and that there was some tension, that sort of thing. I mean, they're both professionals, and we don't know what went on behind the scenes there. Yeah. But so I guess two parts to the question: is it a good fit for the Knicks, and is that dynamic, the Cat Tibbs dynamic, something that we need to worry about, or they're okay, they're just going to move on?
I'll answer the second part first. I think they're going to be fine. As you mentioned, the Jimmy Butler variable was a huge factor in the deterioration in that relationship, you know. So, I'm not in a Knicks locker room, so I can't say for sure, but this doesn't strike me as a group that has a Butler-like figure within that locker room right now. So, I think they'll be fine. You know, and experience is the best teacher. You know, they both moved on. And I think they're ready to kind of work together better than they did that first time around. The first part, I think it's an upgrade overall. I know Julius, he can give you that 25 and 10 type production, but Towns, you're talking about from a spacing standpoint, he just gives them more than Randall was able to. Even in Randall's like most productive three-point year, I think he still shot that 39% of like 8 attempts per game a couple seasons ago, but that's kind of outside the norm for him. You know, Towns is going to give you that consistent ability to stretch the floor, open up driving lanes for Bridges and Brunson, and maybe even Ananobi as well. So we'll see what happens there. But I do think, as much as Julius did while he was in New York, first and foremost, changing the culture of the franchise, you know, being that first star to kind of rejuvenate things there, then the production, I think Towns overall is an upgrade from a talent standpoint.
Yeah, no, I like it. And I guess last part to that question, we won't worry too much about the Timberwolves because we're here to talk about the draft. But from a fantasy perspective, Cat has obviously now been a pretty hot topic in terms of where do you draft him now, as has Josh Hart, because he's going from the sixth man to potential starter. And we saw what he did down the stretch last year. It was really good. So I guess another two-part question, where are you now, or where do you view Cat now as a draft target, or what's his ceiling? And is Josh Hart someone that we need to seriously consider after pick 100 in drafts?
Yeah, for Cat, I've got him as like a top 25 player. By the end of the second round, I'm taking him off the board if he's available, because I think his ceiling does raise with the move to New York and the Mitchell Robinson injury. So that's a better position for him from a fantasy standpoint. We'll see how he deals with the pressure of the New York market and whatnot, but I think he'll be fine. In terms of Hart, yeah, I think he's someone that we're now looking at just outside the top 100. Before, he's like a late-round flyer, because you knew he's still going to play 25, 28 minutes per night.
Yeah.
The scoring may not be there, but he can give you so much in other categories. Now, I don't expect him to play the minutes that he did last season, but high 20s, low 30s, I think that's a fair expectation if he's going to be that fifth starter. You just hope that the perimeter shot has improved and that his wrist is healthy, because that was an issue for him down the stretch last year, because he could have some good catch-and-shoot opportunities within that offense.
Yeah. And I, so, yeah, so I agree on both fronts there. I do think I have Cat, yeah, sort of anywhere after 20, I think he's fine. I don't think he's going to get back to top five Cat, which he was a couple of years ago. But yeah, certainly shifting up to the center spot. I mean, he'll play some time at the four, especially once Mitch Robinson is healthy again. It does give them some flexibility there against bigger lineups. So I think he'll spend time at the four and at the five, but just his rebound numbers, they'll go up a little bit. Hopefully his defensive numbers go up a little bit. He's never going to be a big shot blocker or anything like that, but just playing closer to the rim, he should be able to increase. So, yeah, I like it for Cat and Hart. I think makes sense as a really good target after pick 100. And we talk about taking risks and upside and flyers, that sort of thing. I mean, you sort of consider him as a little bit of a flyer, but we've seen him do it. So he's a little bit different to some of these guys we're looking at, like Amen Thompson. I mean, for me, Dyson Daniels. But these guys that we like their upside, but we're yet to see it. We've seen it from Hart multiple times. So I really like him there as well. Let's bring up your team. So this was an auction draft. And as I said, not a lot of these happen. So it is hard to pull data and know, did you pay too much for that guy or did that guy go as a bargain? Because we don't have drafts to compare it to. Let me just take that logo off the screen so we can see. And I might bring us next to it and we can see your team better. So, anyone that does auction drafts, you're sort of going into it and the value is what the value is, depending on who you're drafting with. And we saw a very big discrepancy between what Wemby went for in this draft compared to the first auction mock that we did. This was yourself and a whole heap of our Discord community. And I'm doing another one of these this weekend with Alex Barutha from RotoWire, exactly the same, but a little bit of a twist on that one. So the one that we're doing this weekend will be auction standard settings, but the twist, which I actually haven't let them know yet, will be that I'm going to come up with a list of players. It'll be sort of your top 20 players, and they're not allowed to be nominated until the fourth round. So I'm just curious to see how their value change, like does Wemby's value change, does Jokic change, do people conserve money knowing that these bigger names are coming later in the draft, and so maybe you can get value early on guys because people are in their mind, they're going, I don't want to spend too much, or do people just get rid of money early still, and then when these big names come up they actually go for a little bit cheaper. So I just thought it'd be an interesting experiment to see if that changes player values. But yourself, you were in the first auction mock I did as well. That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And safe to, I mean, you actually got Cat in this draft. Then this was, we did this before the trade, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. This was a couple hours before the trade broke.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, it was. That's right. It happened because it happened while I was recording. That's right. And you'd already picked Cat. So it looks like really good value now. Safe to say that, I mean, based on this, and if I remember back to the first auction mock as well, you are going for the stars and scrubs approach. So you, from memory, you tended, in this one and I think in the other one, you tended to get some money off the board early and build a core and then just fill your roster at the back end with sort of those $2 players.
I'll be honest. When it comes to auction drafts, I'm trying to get out of there as soon as possible. I'm not a big like 2.5-3 hour long draft person. So if it happens to work out to where it's a stars and scrubs approach, so be it. But I think what I would advise if there are like less experienced auction drafters listening, practice and go through multiple mock drafts, because that first one was absolutely insane. I think Wemby went for like $94 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second one, he went 76, which I think is more in line with his value. I paid like 80-something for Jokic in that first one. And you kind of, once you get a feel for it, you get a better idea of what price amounts guys should be going for and what you're willing to spend. Like, I went into this thinking I don't want to spend more than 55 on any single player. I think the closest I came to it was SGA at 49. So, you know, when you're able to do multiple mocks, you're able to kind of figure things out in terms of what you want to do, your different approaches. So I guess I look for a more balanced roster in this instance. It just happened to work out that I ended up getting some stars for pretty good price ranges.
Yeah, and I mean, let's start at the top. So, yeah, you sort of took four players in the first 17 picks. Sengun for 32, Shea, as you said, for 49, James Harden for 39. So that was sort of your three key guys that you got early there. Look, Sengun, I think, fine for $32. Shea, I thought, was good value. I think I talked about it on the show. I thought he's sort of in that discussion with Luka and, well, Anthony Davis for some, but in that second tier behind Jokic and Wemby, and you said Wemby went for 76, which I think is about right. I think that's where he's going to go. Probably 80 is the top end for him. Jokic slightly back, but based on that, you would have Shea at sort of a $60 player, and you got him for 49. So I thought really good value.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised. I expected the bidding to go on a bit longer than it did. Maybe approached a Luka dollar figure at 58, but
yep,
didn't happen. So
no, as you said, Luka in Matt Carmody's team there, he went for 58, which again I think is about right. So 49 for Shea was really good value. James Harden for 39. I mean, he's pushed into that discussion now as a borderline first round player. Yeah. So in there with sort of Trey and Steph and those guys. So I thought 39 for Harden is about probably where he's going to sit as we get closer to to real drafts taking place. Brandon Podziemski was a weird one. Like, we're seeing a lot of, not weird in terms of you got him on your team, but weird in terms of where he was nominated. And
yeah.
Because, and now, did you nominate him?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But yeah, it's one of those things where you spend as much money as I did in the first three picks. If I did nominate him, it's a situation where, like, all right, let's see if I can sneak someone past for a cheap dollar amount, because other people may be focused more on those big money guys. But I don't know, $7, he's not guaranteed to start, obviously, but I go back to the interview in The Athletic where he said they told him in his exit interview they want him to take 8 to 10 three-pointers per game next season. Yeah. That strikes me as someone who's going to have a rather prominent role, whether he starts or comes off the bench. They're not going to tell you to do that in like 20 minutes. You know, so at that point, $7, it may have been a little much, but it's $7. We're not talking about paying like $25, $30 for the guy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think seven's fine. Maybe if he's nominated in that range, like down here towards the bottom where you got Clint Capella, Trace Jackson Davis, or not Jackson Davis necessarily, but Dyson Daniels. If he's nominated in that range, he probably goes for maybe $5.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you said, it's $7, $5, $2 different. It doesn't matter. Kevin Durant for 30. I actually thought that was quite low as well. I thought that was good value. I know some people are a little bit hesitant on Durant this year because of his age, and I think it's his 18th season. I think I saw something like that in some graphic or something. So he's obviously towards the back end of his career, but he was solid again last year. Phoenix now have a point guard, which I think the Tyus Jones addition is not being swept under the rug, but it's not really being talked about. But I think it just improves them a lot because it frees up Durant, it frees up Booker, it frees up Beal to play their natural game. So I think Durant should be in for a relatively consistent season. based on what we've seen the last few years, and getting him for $30. Like we said, you got Şengün for 32. I'd have Durant as sort of a $35-$36 player. So a bit of value there. You were happy to get him?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think he's such a great scorer that sometimes we forget what he can provide in the blocks category as well. And then, and like you said, having a point guard out there is going to free those guys up to just do their primary job, which is the score. Like, they can set people up, but I don't think you want any of those three in terms of Durant, Beal, and Booker having to also focus on setting up everyone else and running the offense. So having Tyus Jones and behind him Monte Morris, I think that's going to help them immensely in terms of on-court value and fantasy value as well.
Then you got Cat. Like we said, you got him for 24, and then we got the news like an hour later after this pick that he'd been traded. So 24, I mean, I think we can both agree that's probably on the cheap side now, knowing what we know. I think
we'll go like mid to high 30s. Probably on the low.
Yep. Well, I definitely have him in that discussion with Şengün now at least. So, so in Şengün, as I said, he went for 32, which I feel is about right. So, yeah, I think 24 now looks great, but you're going to have to pay up, probably mid-30s to get him. He's also going to be not only a top 20, top 25 guy, but there's also now some hype around him. Mm-hmm. So there's a sort of, you got to pay a bit of a premium to get some of these guys. Cam Johnson, you took... So then you'd sort of got rid of the majority of your money. So then it's filling that roster with some of these cheaper guys. Cam Johnson for $6. I think Cam Johnson's a little bit under the radar this year. I think he could be primed for a bounce back. He was average last season. Let's be honest, it wasn't a good year. But I think with where Brooklyn is situated now in terms of expectations, I think Ben Simmons is another guy. They really just have nothing to lose. Just go out, play basketball. We don't really care if we win. So I like Cam Johnson in that range of, like, you got Pajemski there for $7. What do you think about Brooklyn and Cam Johnson? Could he push back to being a top 80 player this season?
I think it's possible. One concern about him is the availability. These last couple of years, he's had some significant injuries where he's missed extended time. But you look at him, I think he's someone that could be like that proverbial shop window guy, where they just let him go out there, play 30-plus minutes a night up to the trade deadline just to see what type of value they could potentially get back. They began the process of recouping draft picks this summer, obviously. I'm sure they're going to want to do more in terms of either him or Dorian Finney-Smith, but Finney-Smith really isn't in the fantasy conversation. I think Cameron Johnson is someone that, at a minimum, he can be a top 100 player, maybe even better than that if the efficiency is there. But it's all about availability for him. And also, I look at that roster, I don't see too many wings that you're really worried about in terms of the Nets feeling like they have to get these guys more minutes than Cam. Like, Cam Thomas is going to get his run. I mean, Derek Whitehead, the rookie who barely played last year because of foot injuries, I don't see him, playing more than Cam Johnson. Then after that, I think Jalen Wilson, none of those guys really strike me as the type that they're going to be viewed as like future building blocks for that franchise ahead of a Cam Johnson.
Trayce Jackson-Davis next for $5. Likely to be the starting center in Golden State. We'll probably have a better idea after the preseason, but it looks as though he is going to start. I think we're all of the opinion that he's probably not going to play, I guess, quote-unquote, starters minutes. He's not going to play 32 minutes or anything like that. He's probably going to be mid-20s because they have Draymond Green, who can play the center. They still have Kevon Looney that they can throw in at a pinch if they just need a bigger body or someone to absorb some contact and that sort of thing. So I don't think he gets up to over 30 minutes, but even in 25 to 26 minutes, I think he can be top 100. And so for $5, again, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know if he's, like you said, I don't know if I'll start his minutes, but I have a hard time believing that it will be a timeshare between he and Kevon Looney.
No, because
I know Kevon's in better physical condition going into camp this year than in seasons past, but he's just got so much wear on those legs. I don't really know what you can expect from him at this point. And then Draymond, you maybe play him at center for like 5 minutes a game.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go too much further than that just because we've seen him get exposed in those lineups and they go a little too long with him. So I think there's going to be a good 27, 28 minutes per game available for Jackson Davis if he earns them. And at that point, probably going to take a hit in free throw percentage, but I didn't get your field goal percentage, rebounds, and blocks. So I think $5, I was fine paying that.
And then you backed up with another center who has some question marks regarding his spot in the rotation. Well, not his spot in the rotation, but where he fits in the rotation this season and what are his minutes going to look like. But Clint Capela for $3, I thought that was a really good price for him. I know myself, I want Okongwu to start and something that we've wanted for the past 2 years. Is this year we finally see it? Do they move Okongwu into the starting lineup and bring Capela off the bench? Or is this going to be a situation where they're viewing Capela as a trade piece and so they want to get him out there, show that he's healthy, show that he can still be that sort of semi-elite rim protector?
Yeah, it feels like in the fantasy community, a lot of people are trying to speak Okongwu into existence as a starter. Mm. And I think that in turn capped Capela's value to an extreme. Like last year, I think he was going way too low in drafts. For $3, I think that's probably too low for him in an auction. So
yeah,
I don't know if it may be an equal timeshare between those two. Obviously, they paid Okongwu that extension. Capela's going into the final year of his deal. So I think we will see a changing of the guard, but I don't think we're going to be in a situation where Capela is only playing like 12 to 15 minutes per night immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think it will be, a timeshare, maybe not a split. Oh, look, maybe they do play Okongwu 27 and Capela 21 or something like that. But even in 20, 22 minutes, Capela can be a lot like a Dan Gafford or someone like that in that role. He could still put up strong rebound numbers, block numbers, and field goal percentage. So you went in another direction in terms of player position, same team, but went with Dyson Daniels, someone that, I mean, anyone that listens to me or watches my shows knows I'm pretty high on him this year. He's come out and said that he wants to make all defensive team this year. That's sort of his goal. I know a few analysts, I know Dan Bespris is one, and someone else I'm sure said he's sort of a dark horse to lead the league in steals this year if he can play enough minutes, because I think he was at 1.4 steals in 21 minutes last year, something like that. So by simply doing the numbers, he could get up to 1.92 steals if he's playing 30 minutes. I mean, are you high on him? I mean, you took him for $2 here, but that, I mean, you're getting cheap guys at the back end here anyway. So what are your thoughts on his role this season?
I think he's going to have a prominent role. Zachary Risache, I'm sure he'll play plenty, but he didn't look ready during summer league. And I don't know how much you're going to look to rush him out there as a first overall pick. You got DeAndre Hunter. Like, they've been down this road with DeAndre Hunter for quite some time now. Can he be a solid rotation piece? Sure. I don't know if he's equipped to be a starter. And plus, you have his injury issues too. So who knows how often he's going to be out on the floor. So you just take those guys, those two. I think the door is open for Dyson Daniels there. I think the biggest question mark would be, would he start or would it be Bogdan Bogdanovic, just give him more scoring at the two? But on the flip side, then you have a defensive issue playing Bogdanovic and Trae Young as your starting backcourt. So I think Daniels, I think he's going to get high 20s in terms of minutes per game. And as you mentioned, with steals alone, he can wreak absolute havoc with that type of playing time.
Yeah, no, I agree fully there in terms of the issues they would have, we've seen it playing Trey and Bogdan as their starters defensively. So I think Bogdan is a perfect sixth man because he can come off the bench, he can score, he can facilitate. I think that's an element of his game that we just haven't had an opportunity to see him handling the ball and playing as that secondary point guard. So I like him off the bench. I like Daniels alongside Trey. Steals, as you said, there's some assists upside. He's obviously not going to get a ton of assists playing alongside Trey Young, but he'll still, I think he's still an upside guy in terms of assists. He could get you four, maybe five. There'll be nights when he does get six or seven. Matas Buzelis was your next pick, followed by John Collins. So this is where we're sort of right down in the back end here. You took both of them for a dollar. Buzelis, no one's really talked about him this offseason. The Bulls, obviously, we're talking about Lonzo being healthy. We're talking about how does Giddey fit in? Is Vooch going to be traded? So there is talk about Chicago, but Buzelis really just hasn't been mentioned at all. Where do you think he fits in the rotation?
I think part of it's going to depend on the front office. Like, are they going to be content to try to chase for a play-in spot again? Like, I don't think that does them any good in terms of rebuilding that franchise, but it keeps the building relatively full. And as we've seen with the Bulls in the past, I think ownership is just as much about turning a profit as they are, you know, actually developing the roster, even more so in some instances. So I think that's one concern. Patrick Williams, he struggles to stay healthy. That's one thing. I know he's been dealing with some foot soreness that was separate from the foot surgery that ended his season last year. So that's a positive, but still, you're kind of banking on him having an extended absence at some point. I just think this isn't a very good basketball team, and by January, they're going to just have to toss the keys to guys like Buzelis and even Julian Phillips to kind of see what they have with those young guys.
Yeah, and I think Bulls fans, as much as you want your team to succeed and be competitive, I think Bulls fans would be of the opinion that, yes, we need to not push for the play-in. Let's really just tear it down and rebuild, because stuck in mediocrity for a decade is not, I mean, it doesn't do anyone any good. So I hope that from the Bulls' perspective as well, that they do, as you said, come January, February, they start to just play these young guys and give them minutes. So, and then John Collins, I mean, we don't really need to talk too much about him. We know who he is. Utah, their rotation is a bit of a mystery still, I think, because they've got obviously John Collins and who can play center or the four, but he's sort of he's an interesting player. Like, we've seen him be a really good fantasy asset, but he's almost stuck in between a four and a five. Like, he's not really big enough or physical enough to be a strong rim protecting center, but then he's not a reliable floor spacer. So where does he fit? Markkanen is still there. I like Taylor Hendricks at some point to step into a bigger role. Does Kessler start? So do you think Collins starts opening night, or are they going to bring him off the bench?
He needs to come off the bench. Like, let's be honest here. You know, Walker Kessler should be the starter. And as we saw early last season before they made the change, those two don't fit well together as part of a same starting lineup just because of the floor spacing issues. So Collins off the bench, you know, I don't really like his fantasy value there. I had $1 left and basically decided to just spend it on him. So I couldn't really find another young player that I wanted to go with. But, yeah, I think, what was he, just outside the top 100 last season? Because I don't see that type of production coming from him again this year, especially if Kessler can go out there and win the starting job in training camp.
Yeah, and he could be someone they look to trade at some point as well. I mean, I know they only brought him in last year, but I mean, he is young. He feels older than he is. Feels like he's been around. I think because that Atlanta saga dragged on for so long. But he, I mean, he is still young, so there, it could be that Utah or another team could sort of slide him into a meaningful role. But yeah, I mean, for a dollar, you just take a chance and see what he's doing opening night and drop him if you need to, or maybe you've got a good bargain there. So so that's your team. So I just want to touch on a couple of these top guys and then I'll let you go. So as we said, Wemby went for 76, Jokic went for 67, Luka 58, Tatum 49, Shea 49, Giannis 46. So everyone was down a few dollars compared to that first auction draft we did. And I think the numbers here are pretty much what you should expect. I think this is a better reflection of what players will go for. Halliburton went for, what did Halliburton go for in this one? He went for 50. Went for 50. So he went for like 41 in that first draft, which was really cheap. But I think he's sort of a $50 player. Is this like, would you agree there, or what are your thoughts on player values in general in this draft?
Overall, I think this draft was a lot better than the first one. So we're just basically flying blind with that first mock draft, you know. So you kind of expect some extremes in that case. If anything, you're looking at this draft, you think, all right, Karl Anthony Towns clearly isn't going to go for 24 at this point. Maybe Anthony Edwards receives a slight boost as well, but he was already at 40. So I don't really know if we're talking too much more than like a $1 or $2 boost there in terms of his value. Let's see who else here. Jalen Johnson for 30 was a little bit surprising for me. I know he was really good in fantasy last year. I just wonder if that was a little too much to pay for him, but I don't think there was anything extreme like that first one where you had the overspending early, which led to some guys going for ridiculously cheap dollar amounts later in the draft.
Yeah. So a couple of guys I just wanted to, we'll finish off with Jalen Duren, Mark Williams. Like, they went for 25, 22. In that first draft, they both went for around the $15 mark. I felt like that was too much. Like, I'm high on Duren, I'm high on Mark Williams, but I just thought for $25, I don't know, that felt high to me, but that sort of set the mark early for those centers. Where would you have those guys in terms of monetary value? Because I'd have them closer to 15 than 25.
Yeah, I'd be more willing to pay in the 20s for Duren than Williams. I know Williams has looked good when on the floor, but the availability concerns me, especially when you look at LaMelo Ball as well. Obviously, different players, different positions, but when two of your supposed building blocks are already having significant availability issues, that kind of impacts how I look at the top of your roster as a whole when it comes to fantasy value and the availability question. So I think Duren for 25 may have been a bit much, but I'd be more willing to pay that for him than for Mark Williams.
Yeah, and I think Mark Williams has already got some sort of an injury, doesn't he? I can't think what it is. I know he's got something going on already. It's not the back, which is a good thing. I think it's a foot or, I don't know. You'd be able to find it if you looked it up. I know he's got something. They were talking
foot,
about
yep. foot camp. Tendon.
Yeah.
Foot tendon injury, and he'll be reevaluated in mid-October.
Yeah, so that's that's not good, because mid-October is basically the start of the season, and which that, I mean, to me, that probably indicates he's going to miss the whole preseason. If he's only being reevaluated mid-October, and I think games tip off on the 23rd or 22nd or 22nd. Something like that. Yeah, so all right. Well, I've kept you long enough. Like me, I'm assuming the content is starting to ramp up at Roto World with player blurbs and injuries, and we've got preseason only, 2 days away now? Yes. So what's happening at Roto World, and where can people find you in your work?
Yeah, we're still working through our preseason content. I've got a punt guide coming out tomorrow. So we talk about punting in different categories and some player options for, you know, different stages of the draft for that. Yeah, we player news, a lot of different articles in terms of feature content. We should have our rankings released pretty soon, too. That's part of like a draft cheat sheet where we have rankings for 8-cat, 9-cat, Dynasty, and Points League. So hopefully people will be able to find some value from that. Other than that, at Raphael J on all the socials, I don't really tweet much because X is pretty much a cesspool at this point. So,
yeah. Yep. And the Roto World podcast, fantasy basketball podcast with yourself, Dan Titus, and Vaughn, is that scheduled to come back?
I believe we will be getting that going again in October. I don't know, a little bit later in October. I don't know exactly when, but we're working through that process right now. So yeah, well, that's always a fun time to be able to, you know, talk basketball and have some guests such as yourself on every so often. So looking forward. Yeah,
and I know Dan's obviously very busy with, has been busy with fantasy football as well. And I think Vaughn does other things as well, doesn't he? He doesn't just
do basketball, betting and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone's busy, but yes, you will notice certainly an increase in content in, both in terms of written content, player notes and podcasts and that sort of thing over the coming weeks from all of us. Thanks for jumping on. It was meant to happen yesterday and I had a work thing that I had to attend. So thanks for being flexible. As I said, I am doing another one of these on Saturday at, what am I doing? At 6 p.m. Eastern, I think, with Alex Barutha. So I'll do another live show for that one. And that might be it then for auction drafts. Maybe we'll squeeze another one in. But, yeah, they are a bit time-consuming. So thank you, everyone, for watching today's show. And if you watched along when we did the live draft, thank you. If you didn't, go back and watch that. I'll post the links together and watch along this weekend if you've got some free time. And that will do. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to let Raph go and do whatever he needs to do on a, what day is it over there? Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.